Genesis chapter 22 is where we'll be this morning, and we're looking at faith or common sense. Faith or common sense. We started here a couple weeks ago, and if you remember, I had 7 points, and we got the first three done. And so we're going to finish this this week. And honestly, the whole point of that message and this message this morning is this one truth. You can trust God. And I think if this passage, I know it's referenced a lot in preaching, and my preaching and other preachers will reference this story. But if it tells us one thing, it's that we can trust God, and you can be secure in that truth. And so read it with me this morning. We're going to just read the first 14 verses. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood, the burnt offering, and rose up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Believe Isaac was beginning to understand that there was something missing. Verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to a place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son. And by this time, I'm sure Isaac was convinced there was something missing. He laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife in to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. It means God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, as it is said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Shall be seen. Let's pray, and then let's just look into the text. Just talking about our faith, and or we operate on common sense. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for your grace. And God, I just ask that you just would meet with us this morning. And certainly, as always, God, I have nothing of benefit or profit to offer to anyone this morning. But we ask and pray that your Spirit would come and meet with us, and God, that you do a mighty work in our hearts. And Lord, I don't know where everyone is this morning. Lord, there might be some here struggling with a burden that they're bearing. There might be some that are needing to make some decisions. Lord, there might be some that have circumstances of life that, God, are overwhelming them. And God, I pray that, Lord, we would not leave here with any other thought other than the fact that we know that the God of heaven, whom we serve, and whom we've put our faith and trust in today, I pray that be that case for everyone here. Lord, you can be trusted. Lord, that we don't have to live a life by our own will We don't have to live a life based upon what just makes sense, but God, that we would be people of faith, and God, that we could see you do miraculous things in and through our life. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. We're continuing again to look at a very difficult story, I'd say, in the Word of God. It's honestly a story I think most people would stop. I mean, well-thinking people, and go, how in the world could God ask such a thing from Abraham? Or why would God even have the thought of doing such a thing of Abraham or to Isaac? How could God get to a point to where he would sacrifice his own son, that his son would be offered up? How could that be pleasing at all to God? I think many struggle with the story, and probably the problem is we haven't got to a place of faith as Abraham had gotten to, and we truly struggle with faith. And we'd also understand this. Abraham was a man that was growing in his walk of faith. Abraham didn't always just have the faith to step out and say, yes, Lord, I'll offer you my son. In fact, if we go back to the beginning of Abraham's story, we'd know this, that Abraham was told in chapter number 11 that he was to leave his father's household. He was to leave his kindred. He was to get away from his family. He was to get away from the culture that was surrounding him. And that wasn't acceptable to Abraham. Abraham was not willing to leave behind any of his family. He wasn't willing to leave behind his culture. And if you remember back to where we were looking at that, Abraham was willing to go about halfway. He went to Haran, and there he stayed there until his father had died. And then he continued on to the promised land, and he brought his nephew Lot with him. And understand, if you look at the story of Abraham, until Abraham was willing to be obedient to God, God's hand of blessing was really held off of him. And honestly, it ended up hurting Lot. And the reality is, if you study what took place with Lot, between the daughters of Lot and the children that they had, ended up being a curse unto Israel later on. I mean, nothing real good came out of Abraham's life until Abraham, by faith, was willing to be obedient unto God. And we think everything sometimes needs to add up in our life. I'll tell people when they're trying to make a decision, hey, make a list of pros and cons. If we make this decision, these are the things that are pro and these are the things that are con. But understand with me, sometimes when we are making those lists, we kind of are doing it in disobedience a little bit when we honestly already know that which God would have us to do. Listen to me. If you don't know what God would have for you to do, and you're trying to figure out the direction that God would have for your life, and you're trying to figure out which way you're going, I think it's important. I think it's good. You can stop and you can weigh some things out and you can look. But listen to me. When you get to a point where you know what the will of God is, you know what God wants you to do, and you stop and you go, this doesn't add up, but I know it's the will of God. This doesn't make sense, but I absolutely know by faith that this is what God would have us to do. My friend, then listen to me. If we're going to look at common sense, we're going to make sure that adds up. We're going to make sure that everything computes and that everything is just going to turn out perfectly before we ever take a step. Then I'm telling you what we're not doing. We are not living lives of faith, if that's the kind of life we're living. Yet I believe that's the life most American Christians are trying to live. They want everything to be nice and easy. They want everything to work out smoothly. They want everything to make perfect sense. They want everything to just be roses and just the peaches and cream just all the time and just be wonderful. It just all worked out just so perfectly and beautifully. But my friend, listen to me. That's not necessarily always the life of faith. Common sense many times becomes the enemy of faith. Common sense can become the enemy of faith. I'm not saying that we should just go out and do silly, foolish things. Don't get me wrong. I am saying this, that just because common sense would say one thing does not necessarily mean that that is the direct will of God. Just because it adds up on one hand and this just is easy and this is just the simple step to take. Generally, honestly, I found in my life that the simplest steps to take, the easiest steps to take, are not always those steps that would cause me to go, man, I'm just walking in faith. And this Christian life is just an easy walk. It's an easy life. I'm telling you what, the Christian life is not for the faint of heart. It's absolutely not. It's not for wimps. Why? Because if you're going to walk by faith and you're going to live by faith and you're going to act in faith in your life, there's going to be some difficult steps you're going to have to take. There are going to have to be times when you're going to have to go against what the culture would say would make sense. And there will be times when you'll have to go against what this world would just say, this just is a right thing to do. We got to go on a wonderful trip this last week and got to go to ports, and every port we went to, somebody was trying to sell us something that we did not need. And they were trying to convince us that we didn't need it. And my wife saw a few things. I'm sure she thought, man, this just would look make sense to own this. But understand, listen, not everything we see out there that was glittery and shiny was what we necessarily needed. Praise the Lord. Because there are a couple times I'm like, babe, I waste so much money. I'm not going to tell you no. And she's like, nah, we don't need it. And I was like, yes, inside. I was like, yes. I was trying to keep a cool, calm, collected face on the outside. Like, no, honey, go right ahead. Amen. Moving on. Listen, this is what faith is. Faith is simply taking God at His word. It's simply taking God at His word. It's not just trying to just go by feelings, operate how I feel, operate on something that sounds good. It's that we have the Word of God that has directed us and guided us, the Spirit of God that has directed us by His Word, and therefore we act upon it. Not everything, you say this, well, not everything is spelled out in the Word of God. Who I married, I didn't come to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 2, and it said, you will marry Rochelle Brown. That's the girl you're going to marry. But no, listen to me. As I walked in the Word of God, as I lived in the Word of God, as I yielded myself to the Spirit of God, understand with me, God made His will clear and God directed in the way He would have me to go. Understand with me, as we take God at His Word, as I yield myself to God's Word, as I yield myself to the will of God, God makes His will plain. We walk by faith. Common sense is this. Common sense is this. It's sound judgment based on a simple presentation of the situation or the facts. That's what faith is. It's sound judgment based on the simple presentation of the situation or the facts. So here's the situation. Here are all the goods, the pros and the cons. These are all the ins and the outs of the situation. These are the facts of the situation. And therefore, based upon these facts, we can deduce and we can make simple judgments. I want you to understand, this story doesn't fit in to common sense. It doesn't. And the life of faith will not always fit in to what this world would call common sense, that the presentation or the facts would add up to say that that things are going to work out well. We understand, and Abraham understood, and get this, he would be more acquainted with the idea of sacrifice. I'm talking about literal sacrifice. He would be more acquainted with that reality than we would. None of us have made the kind of sacrifices that Abraham made when he made to God. Abraham understood when he made a burnt offering sacrifice unto God that that offering didn't get up and walk home with him. Come on. He understood the reality of that. That would have been the facts for Abraham. That would have been the reality for Abraham, as this is not something that's coming home with me. Yet by faith, understand with me, when Abraham, and we're going to look at it here in a minute, when Abraham left his servants at the bottom of Mount Moriah, and he says, listen, me and the lad, we're going to go up in verse number 5. We're going to go up and we're going to make sacrifice. And then guess what? We're coming again. When Isaac looks at Dad and says, Dad, where's the burnt offering? Where's the sacrifice for the burnt offering? And he was quite confident. Listen, don't worry about that, Isaac. God's going to provide Himself a lamb, and God was going to take care of this, even though, listen to me, it wouldn't have made common sense. And even though Abraham understood exactly what the facts of burnt offering were, he didn't follow common sense. He was following God by faith. Sadly, many believers will never be in the center of the will of God because it doesn't make common sense to them. It doesn't add up. They can't compute it. In this perfect world we live here in America, I mean, we just have to make sure everything is in order. And sadder still, we can get satisfied with just getting close to the will of God. We can grow to where we get to a satisfaction to where, I mean, we're not in the will of God, but we're so close we don't really care that we're not in the will of God. We know what God wants of us. We know what God desires for us to do. We know where He wants us to go. But we're not willing to go there. We're willing to go to a certain portion of it. We're so willing to go to a certain extent to it, but we're not willing to just say, you know what, by faith I'm going to believe God, I'm going to follow God by faith, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do, regardless of what the world would say the circumstances are, regardless of what my feelings are, I'm going to go with the will of God. It is a shame to us here in America that we get to the place where we are just satisfied being comfortable. And we think, well, we're so comfortable and everything's okay. So in our little world and everything's okay with our life. So everything we do, this is a wrong equation. Everything we do, therefore, because we are comfortable with what we're doing, must be okay with God. And I'm telling you, friend, that's not always the case. It's not always the case. We generally are more content to live in the permissive will of God than to search out and to seek after and to go through the uncomfortable circumstances that might be the perfect will of God. We're just real satisfied to live in the permissive will and just to stay there. But a life of faith is not about being comfortable. I'm for making money. I'm for being comfortable financially. Have a 401k. I don't think there's anything wrong or ungodly about that. But understand, I'm telling you, in America, we've gotten to a place to where we're trusting more in what we can do than we are in what God can do. We're very much there, my friend. And one of my greatest fears, I'm thankful, very thankful for many of the things our president's done. I'm glad about that. But you can just study history and you can just look throughout all ages. And generally, it is not when there's great wealth and prosperity in a nation do you find that nation turning closer to God. It's generally not. It's generally not. In fact, quite the opposite is true, that men fall farther and farther away from God when the wealth and prosperity of their nation is at a high. It's generally the case if you study history. God, my friend, doesn't barter. He's not interested in you making it halfway. He's not going to make a deal with you and say, okay, this is what I want. And you say, okay, I see what you want, God, but this is what I'm willing to give. It's not, you're not buying a car with God. All right, this is what the sticker says, but I'm going to offer you. No, God doesn't barter with anybody. God wants you and all of you. And just like God wanted all of Abraham. And here's the beautiful thing. While Abraham messed up, and you look through the life of Abraham, he was very much not a perfect man at all. There are many mistakes that Abraham made in his life. There are many missteps that Abraham made in his life. But understand, there was never a time when God said, okay, Abraham, I'm just satisfied with you not being in the center of my will. Abraham, I'm just going to let you go because you've determined the road you're going to take. You've determined the path you're going to take. And you just go and have a good time on it. No. God never gave up on Abraham. And God was going to continually try Abraham to see if Abraham was going to the place that He wanted him to go and getting to the place in faith, in his life of faith that He wanted him to be. And praise the Lord, we get to this story and we see that God has done a work in Abraham's life to where Abraham has so much faith in God that even though things don't make common sense, Abraham's going to immediately follow after the direct leading of God. You say, well, how long did it take Abraham in his walk of faith? Understand with me, from the time Abraham was promised a son, Isaac, to the time Isaac came was 25 years. I mean, we like 25 days and God hasn't fulfilled His promise yet? I mean, where is God at? How could God not have come down and showered us with blessing? I mean, we've believed His promises. We've been faithful for a whole 25 days. Abraham, 25 years. Was waiting for the promise of his son Isaac. And now Isaac is of some age now. He's not a child anymore. He, according to chapter number 21, he's been weaned already. I mean, that's already taken place in chapter 21. He's not a young child. He's probably now in the Jewish culture would be to a point of a man, they tell us. He's over the age of 13. And here he is, and he's going to sacrifice it. And we understand you understand this with me. It's been years that he's been waiting on the promise. Over 25 years he's been waiting on the promise of God to be fulfilled. And now God says, listen, now give me that promise back. I gave it to you, Abraham. I gave you exactly what I told you I was going to give you. I gave you exactly what you wanted. And now, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give back to me what I've given you. But wait a second. God had made a promise with Isaac, didn't he? I understand with me. Common sense would just say, listen, sacrifices don't get up and walk home. Common sense would just say, once that sacrifice is made, it's not going to be able to reproduce itself. A sacrifice is once for all. A sacrifice is something that's permanent. A sacrifice is something that doesn't, listen, that does not get up and does not go out and live a fruitful life. But God was promised to Abraham was that Isaac was going to make him a great nation. And Isaac was going to have the seed as of the sand of the sea and as the stars of the sky. That was the promise. And God said, now, Abraham, I want you to give that promise back to me. So we begin to look at this story as it does not make sense, but as it will require faith. We looked at three things just a couple weeks ago. Number one, God spoke to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. My friend, God still speaks. God still speaks. God's still speaking. When we get to a point to where we don't hear God speaking and we don't hear God talking to us, we should be in a very scared place, because there's something very wrong with my heart when the God of heaven at one time was speaking to me and now no longer is speaking to me. It does not show that I'm in a great place spiritually. But my friend, God still kept speaking to Abraham, and God spoke to Abraham. Let me say this. When God spoke, Abraham moved as well. When God does not speak, friend, do not move. Don't move. You say, I don't know what direction God wants me to go in. I don't know what God wants me to do. Then do nothing. No. Don't go anywhere. Don't make a move. Don't make a change. You stay right where you're at until you're convinced that God has spoke. And then as well, don't dismiss the word of God because it doesn't make sense to you. There's nothing about what God asked Abraham to do that makes sense with what God had already promised to Abraham. None of it made sense, but God spoke, and thus Abraham by faith was going to move. Second of all, Abraham responded when God spoke. Here I am. Look at verse number one. God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. God hasn't even told him what he wanted, but Abraham was ready to listen to God. Abraham was ready for God to speak. He didn't wait till God said a second and a third time. Amen? God didn't say, all right, Abraham, I want to talk to you. Hold on a minute, God. I'm a little busy. I've got other things. No. When God spoke, Abraham was ready to listen immediately. And he didn't make God raise his voice either. You know, parenting, come on. Johnny, will you go and do this? Johnny continues to play his video game, to do what he wants to do. Johnny, Mommy, Daddy asked you to go and to do this until we get to a point to where, Johnny! When we get to the point of Johnny, listen to me, what it tells us is that we got a very disobedient child. Come on. We can get to a point where we have a child that's not listening at all to what the parent has to say. But understand, when Abraham's heavenly father spoke to him, it wasn't spoke twice. It wasn't a raised voice. God spoke and Abraham said, Lord, here I am. You want my attention? You got it. You want me to listen? I'm listening. God, go ahead and speak. Here I am. And then thirdly, Abraham prepared to obey. He rose up early the next morning. He got all the stuff together. And this is a miraculous thing about the story. He had servants. Come on. It could have been that he got up and said, okay, I'm going to go eat breakfast. You go get the donkey. You go get the wood. You make sure we have some fire. Get it all together. When you're ready, let me know and we'll take out on this trip. And by the way, you're carrying me on the cart over here. You're going to carry me all the way. No. He had servants there that could have done all the things, but Abraham prepared the wood. Abraham got the knife. Abraham got everything together. Abraham prepared himself to obey God. He rose up early. He did everything that was needed for him to do. He made all the preparations. He didn't require his servants to do it at all. Fourth this morning, Abraham went. Abraham went. Probably the most important part, isn't it? Most important step of a journey is the first step. And we all could probably be in the place where we could stop and we could recount where God's told us. I'm talking about young and old alike. Where we knew the Spirit of God was speaking to us. We knew that God Himself was talking directly to us. We knew exactly what the Word of God. We weren't confused about it at all. We weren't confused about what God wanted. And God said, okay, it's time to take the step. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this is what God. No. Abraham was convinced that it was God who spoke. Abraham knew that what God wanted him to do. And Abraham went. It says in verse number 8, it says, in verse number 3. It says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took him and two young men with him, Isaac his son. He clave the wood, the burnt offering, and he rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now, understand with me, that's very different than his walk was over 25 years ago. Because when God spoke over 25 years ago and says, listen, I want you to go to a place, I'll tell you when you get there where you're going. The Bible says he left the Ur of the Chaldees and he found himself in a place called Haran. And he settled there and he stayed there. Went about halfway. And this time there was no hesitation in his life at all. This time when God spoke, he listened and he went and headed on his way to the exact place that God had told him of. Abraham didn't weigh all the options. He didn't pick what he thought was best. No, he was grown to the point that he knew God would be faithful to his word. So by faith, listen, by faith, Abraham just went ahead and he stepped out to do what God had called him to do. He didn't know how it was all going to work out. He didn't know all the answers to the questions, like where's the sacrifice going to come from, Father? Abraham didn't have any clue where it was going to come from necessarily, but he do know from whom it was going to come, and from whom it was going to come was directly from God. God was going to provide a sacrifice for the sacrifice that he had called for. God was going to meet the need. If you're looking for a common sense reason to obey God by faith, listen to me, you will never find one. You can search and search and search, and you can try to make things make sense, and you're never going to find a place to where common sense is just going to be like, man, common sense and faith just meet up, so therefore I'm going to practice faith. If you're looking for common sense to meet up with faith, even if it ends up being the right decision, listen to me, my friend, you're not moving by faith. You're not. I'm telling you, America, even among those of us who might think we sacrifice the most, we still know very little about faith because what we think we're sacrificing, man, I'm just sacrificing so much for God. We know nothing of sacrifice. Man, I gave all that money to missions, and guess what? I still had plenty of food on my table. I gave all my time to do what I needed to do at the church, and guess what I still had? Well, I still had all the time to do what I wanted to do as well. I'm telling you, we know very little about sacrifice. It's very seldom that we'd stop, and I've heard preachers say this my whole life. Listen, could you just give up a cup of coffee a week and give that to missions, and what a difference that would make? I've never given up that extra cup of coffee and never been able to afford a cup of coffee. I don't believe I'm alone. I don't think I'm the only one that could have that testimony. You understand what that tells me? That I probably very seldomly ever got to the crust of what it actually is to, by faith, man, I'm going to give up everything I have for someone else or for the cause of Christ. We very seldomly get to a point where we actually are stepping out on faith. Faith steps out when it is convinced that God has spoken, it moves when God does speak. Listen, don't be impatient with God. It might take 25 years. Say, my circumstances aren't what I want them to be. Life is not what I want it to be. I would rather be somewhere else. I'd rather be going in a different direction. I wish circumstances would change. I wish life could change. And listen to me, if you'll be faithful and obedient to God, guess what God has an ability to do? To change life's circumstances and to get you in a place to where you would desire to be if you knew where God was taking you, but listen, in order to get where God is taking you, you're going to have to step out by faith. Every time. It's going to require that you go where God's told you to go and you be where God's told you to be. Number five, Abraham believed in the promise. Abraham believed in the promise. I understand he went by faith. I believe this would be very similar to number five. But Abraham believed the promise. There's no other way. I'm telling you, there's no other possible explanation to the fact that Abraham got to a point to where he was binding up Isaac. And just the whole time just saying, Isaac, I just know God's going to provide. Isaac, this is what God's asked. And you're just going to I'm going to have to trust God. And Isaac, you're going to have to trust God. And we're just going to have to trust that God knows exactly what he's doing. Because Isaac, God's promised me. And I'm so convinced of the promise of God that Isaac, I'm going to go through with everything that God's asked me to do. Because God has never once failed of his promises, Isaac. There's never been a time where the promise of God has not been faithful, where the promise of God has not been true. And so, Isaac, I'm going to have to ask you that you would allow me to bind you and to place you. And Isaac, I want you to understand that as I bring this knife down upon you, God's going to provide. You understand with me that Abraham went by faith, but Abraham believed so greatly in the promises of God that whatever God asked, he was going to do. Abraham, I think, had a contagious belief. I pointed out as we were reading, I can't help that Isaac didn't know what was going on, especially when he was getting tied up, you know? Oh no, Isaac, it's going to be just fine. Don't mind. I'll loosen it a little bit. I don't want you to be uncomfortable, you know. Sorry, buddy. No, understand with me. Abraham's belief in the promise of God was so great that Isaac was willing to God. Dad, if you believe in the promises of God so much, if you believe so greatly that this is the will of God and that God's got this and that God's made a promise and then, Dad, I believe it too. We tend to focus on Abraham. What do you think this did for Isaac's faith in God? What do you think this meant for Isaac in his walk with the Lord? Dad, Mom, I don't for one second think you don't affect your kids' belief in God, nor their faith in God. Not for one second should you take the idea that, it's okay that I'm not in the perfect will of God, that I'm not walking with God, that I'm not fully where God would want me. It's okay for me not to be there. It's not going to affect them. Not for one second should you ever think that. We see in Isaac the same submission, listen to this, the same submission to his father that Abraham had towards his heavenly father. God was asking Abraham to give the most precious thing he had to him. And Isaac was willing to give up listen, at his point in his life would have been the most precious thing he had to his father. Your belief in God, and listen to me, the practice of your belief in God can be contagious, my friend. It can be contagious to those who are around you. Isaac knew exactly what was going on, but because of the father's belief in the promise, he was willing to be obedient. And here's the beautiful part. Number six, God provided. God provided. Look at verse number 11. I tell you, just wonderful verses in the Word of God. God provided. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and it offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And look at this. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Listen, God saw everything that was taking place in this situation. In fact, if you look up Jehovah Jireh, a direct translation, we understand God will provide is its meaning. But it also, it means this, God sees. God sees exactly what was needed. God knew exactly, and God's more than capable of providing everything that's needed. And God took care of everything that was needed for this situation. I'm telling you, just as every time men step out by faith, God has everything that's needed. And listen, I don't know what life is throwing at you right now, and I don't know what you're facing right now, but I do have full confidence in this. I know you can trust God. Well, I mean, if you're really living a life of faith and you say, man, I'm operating by faith right now, I'm just taking God at His word, then listen to me. I can with sure confidence tell you this one thing. You can trust God. God wasn't setting Abraham up to fail. God doesn't try to set you up to fail. God isn't up there looking to make you look bad or make you hurt or cause you to feel pain or cause you to have discomfort. No, no, no. That's not what God's trying to do. But God is going to try your faith, and God is going to stretch your faith. It says in verse number 11, and it says, I'm sorry, in verse number 12, and he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that is not thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Understand, when you operate in common sense and you live your life just based upon what adds up and what all computes and what all goes together, and listen to me, what is comfortable, if that's the life we are leading, and that's the life we're trying to live, then we'll never get to the point to where God would look down and say, all right, that, my child, is one that walks by faith. And that is a child that fears me. And that is a child that knows that I can provide. And God's looking down at you. And I'm telling you what, our God wants to provide for our need. I'm telling you, we have such a great Heavenly Father that desires to provide for us. And that wants to give unto us rich blessings, good gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights. He wants to give us good things. Many times because we lack faith to go ahead and believe, act faith to go ahead and step out, we rob God from the opportunity of providing the blessings that He desires for us to have. God knew that what He was doing with Abraham's life. God knew what He was doing with Isaac's life. And listen to me, you can rest assured this. God knows what He's doing with your life as well. He absolutely does know. Last this morning, I think this is the greatest part. We didn't read it yet. But in verse number 15 through 19, I want to read it with you. But we read this, that God reaffirms His promise. God reaffirms His promise. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven a second time and said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Well, where do we find that blessing the first time? Well, in Genesis in chapter number 12. When Abraham finally got to the land where God had told him to go, God gave him this promise. And now here in Genesis 22, he reaffirms this promise because Abraham had now grown to a place where he was fully willing to trust God with the most precious things he has. Look at verse number 19. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Abraham said, listen, we're going to go up and we're coming back again. That's what's going to happen. Well, why? Because God's promised. God's given me his word on the subject. I know that I'm not leaving Isaac up there in a pile of ashes. No, Isaac is coming back down here with me. And when Abraham had the faith that God, listen, that God wasn't going to break his promise no matter what, understand with me, Abraham was now in a place where the true riches of God's blessing could come. And my friend, listen to me, whatever life circumstances you face, you can trust God. You can trust God. Say, I have financial needs. Then go ahead and trust God and be obedient to God in your finances as he's told you to do. Listen, you can trust God. Teenager, you say, well, that parent or that authority in my life, and they're just not what I wish they would be. Listen, you think you're the first teenager to ever look at the authority in their life and go, I just don't understand authority. I just don't understand why mom. I don't understand dad. Do you think you're the first teenager that's ever been in that situation? And might I say this as well, that you think you have the worst circumstances of all people of all time in life? That your life is so difficult because you had to shop at JCPenney's as opposed to Macy's? I mean, that's the kind of difficulties our teenagers face here in America. We got to go to Value Village. I love going to Value Village these days. I hated it as a teenager. Understand with me. We think some of our life circumstances are so big and God's forgotten us, God's abandoned us. What does God know what he's doing? No, 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 listen to me. You can always trust God. I don't care if it's a medical need. I don't care if it's a financial need. I don't care if, I'm telling you, when you get your life in a place to where you say, listen, I know this doesn't make sense. I know this isn't what is the most comfortable thing for me to do. I know this is not what I would choose to do. I know this is not what I would want to do. But I do know this, that God's given me his promise on the subject, and we can trust God. We might not have it exactly how we want. It might not be in the place of comfort. It might not be in the place of ease. But listen to me. We're going to move forward by faith, believing the promise of God to be true. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Are you willing today to trust God? When God calls you to a difficult sacrifice, are you, by faith, believing that his promises are going to be great enough to cover that sacrifice, just as they were the sacrifices you've already made in your life before, that he was faithful then, that he will also be faithful now? Or do you say, no, I'm just tired. I'm tired of making difficult steps. I'm telling you, a lot of people get there to where it's just more comfortable to stay where they are than to just go ahead by faith, step out one more time. But at the same time, we also will rob ourselves of the great blessings that God has for our life when we stop living a life of faith. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.